I have been involved with Boy Scouts for a very, very long time. I always wanted to be a Boy Scout when I was a boy. Unfortunately, in the years when you would go in to be a Boy Scout, I was not a model young person. I was very bad, and I signed up and I went to the first meeting, and I was told in a very nice way that I couldn't come back, that Boy Scouts weren't for my type. And I know you're laughing with me and you think, oh, he's just being a little funny. No, I had a problem. And I got my act together by the time I was in high school. But it was a time in life where I'd gotten kicked out of school over and over and over again. And it's hard to believe that I'm a minister today. But hey, it just goes to show the Lord can do miracles. But I always did. I wanted to be a Boy Scout. And so when my son got an age where he could join the scouting, be part of the scouting program, he became a tiger cub, and then a wolf bear, and I got involved in the whole process. And I ended up becoming a leader, and so my experience in scouts was as a leader and not as a boy. And I've loved it. It is a great organization. Now, if you take Boy Scouts of America, I'm not talking about Cub Scouts, that's the little guys, the Boy Scouts, that's the middle school on up. If you had to boil the program down and say, what are they all about? You could answer that by saying, they're all about the Scout Law. And the Scout Law is this little list here of 12 items. Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. That's what they are. Every time you have a Scout meeting, all the boys stand up, and they get the Scout sign up, and they are repeating these things. At the end of every Scout meeting, you have something that's called the Scout Master Minute. And one thing a scoutmaster is supposed to do is help to really drill into their heads what it means, those 12 points mean. In order to move up in any rank from the lowest rank, which is scout rank, all the way to the top, which is eagle rank, the question that is asked in a board of review, and every rank you move up higher, that question is asked. And it is asked in a probing way to show how serious it is. We ask the boys, are you living according to the scout oath and law in your personal life? So you may have a boy who gets all the work done that's related to Boy Scouts, but in the rest of his life, he could be living a life that doesn't reflect the scout law. You would not advance him. A board of review that would meet with a boy, if it came to the attention that the boy's life wasn't consistent with this, that they would hold off an advancement and they would give him things to work on to help him to develop in those areas. I remember one time, this was a bunch of years ago, that there was a boy and he was getting ready to earn the rank that is next one before you get to Eagle, Life Scout rank. And when he was at Boy Scout camp, he stole another boy's wallet. And it was discovered what he did. And he thought when the time came for him to go in for his board of review that everybody was going to look to see that he had completed his requirements and just move him on up. And the issue came up about the theft. And they had a very helpful discussion with him. They said, we're not going to consider you for this rank right now. This rank means a lot. And being a Boy Scout means a lot. And you being honest with your other scouts and you being a person of integrity means more than this patch. But the only way we're going to give you this is if you're really living according to it. And so they gave him things to work on, and it was a great thing for the boy. And it was almost 2 years later, he did make it all the way to Eagle. But the scout law means something. And I have been thinking a lot about that as I read the news and I think about a lot of the things that are going on in our country these days. It seems like there's some folks that are well-known celebrities that our young people can quote, but the lives they live are not exemplary at all. Some of our celebrities that are out there, kind of demonstrate a life of, I have unlimited money, I have unlimited ease, I have anything that you can buy and anything you want, and I don't have to work hard, I don't have to honor other people, I don't have to be respectful of anybody, I'm just going to do my thing. And I kept thinking about the scout law. Because when they put these things together, when the scouting movement began, there was this recognition that as a country, we want to raise boys that are going to be fine men, that are going to serve our country well. And so those that were involved in the early days of the scouting movement put a lot of thought into work into thinking about what are those qualities that matter. And that's where this list came out. And I still remember Jim Deal's father. He became, well, it was before he served in World War II, but he was an Eagle Scout back in the very early days. And I tell you what, his dad, he could throw up the scout salute in a second. He could tell you about the scout law. It's always been important, and it's still important now. And it's not just important for scouts. It's important for us being people that are trustworthy, loyal. Boy, that's something that our world today, you don't see much of that, do you? Loyalty. Helpful. Friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Well, let's look in our scriptures. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I have not been able to get away from this message for 2 weeks. I'm so positive that this is what I am supposed to share with you. Every day there is something that is some sort of crisis or issue or scandal in the news. Most of you are at one level or not involved in social media. And every day there are people that want to pick a fight about something. In fact, I was telling my wife this morning, I said, I'm very tempted to take my calendar and every day at the end of the day write whatever the crisis was or the scandal or the arguing point. And I think what I'll see is that there's something every day of the week. You know? There's no end to it. And it's very easy to get riled up over whatever it may be. And in a lot of ways, the ways the news operates these days is the things that will get the most clicks are the stories that get the most advertising dollar. We had a child that went to our school, and her dad had worked for years for the Orlando Sentinel, and he used to be a writer. But he goes, he was explaining to me how his position has changed. And he goes, now my job is taking articles and writing the tagline and the introduction to it so it gets people's attention. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, how advertising works online is the more clicks an article gets, the more money we make. And the little advertisements on the side, we get to charge more and we make more for the more clicks it gets. So if you can write an article in such a way that people don't, you know, people are skimming down through a list of articles. If something catches their eye and they click on it, paper makes more money. So he goes, my job is to take a story and to write it in such a way that it catches people's eye and they click on it. And I couldn't help myself. I said, your job is so dishonest. I said, so you take a regular story and you kind of spice it up just to get people to click on it. And he goes, I hate to say it, but that is exactly what I do. And he goes, sometimes I feel bad about my job, but that's the way things are today. So you have expert writers working hard to create stories and such that we will click on. And they have ways of wording things that can get things to stick in our memories and to be in our hearts. And think about how many times you have gone on and checked, you know, whatever's out there in social media, and you had no idea this was going on, and now you found out about this, and now you walk away, and for the next hour, that's going to be the thing that's sticking in your mind, and that's the thing that you're talking to people about. Well, here's the important thing that I think I'm supposed to share with you this morning. The Lord wants our minds to be set on a different wavelength. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent, whatever is praiseworthy, those are the things we need to think about such things. Because at the end of the day, if we can set our minds like that, those things are going to get in our hearts, and the Lord will give us opportunities to serve and to be a part of what he's doing. If we find ourselves just forever just caught by the latest wave of whatever is going on the news, first off, we're going to be depressed and defeated. Secondly, there's a very real sense in which when it comes to our own faith and how we interact with the world, that in some ways we're going to be neutralized. Because rather than having our minds focused on things of the Lord, our minds are going to be focused on how we feel about whatever the latest issue is. And I'm not saying that these issues are not important, but they are not worthy of all of our time. They are not worthy of keeping us up at nights. What is worthy? Things that are true. Things that are noble. Things that are right. Now, one other thing I want to share, it's very easy for us to remember the negative things and forget the good things. There's lots and lots of folks that if I would ask them, you know, tell me what went on today, they would tell me about everything that went wrong in the day. I think some of that's human nature. Like, for instance, I don't know how many of us, 60 or something like that. Let's just imagine that 59 of us walked up to Pastor Scott and Miss Amy and said, "Oh, I really enjoyed your duet you sang with the choir." 59 of us. And then one person walked up and said, "Oh, that really stunk." Do you think what's going to stick in their minds this afternoon when they go to take a nap? Yep, that one person. One person. We can often be like that. I don't know why it is. There's some things, you know, why is it we can let go of compliments so quickly, and we can spend so much time focusing on criticism? Why is it that we spend little time celebrating, but we spend lots of time worrying and fretting? We need to be disciplined. And the reason that I printed this out for you, so hopefully you can use it as a bookmark or stick it on your refrigerator or something like that. We need to set our minds on the things that the Lord would have us set our minds on. Whatever is true. Whatever is noble. Whatever is right. Whatever is pure. Whatever is lovely. Whatever is admirable. And we need to remember those stories. And we need to remember stories about great things. I like to, I know some of you guys are visiting, you're new to me, but one thing I try to do in our congregation is to tell stories about things that happen in church that are really important to remember. I mean, I'll never forget when our school is, I guess, 18 years old now. And I still remember early on, we were just trying to start. And we had something that we needed to do, and we had a ministry we wanted to do with the children, and we needed a certain amount of money to do it. And I remember it was after church one Sunday. The church had ended, and one of the men in our church, I'll tell you who it was, Ted Savard, after church was over, he got in with his family, got in his truck, and left. He's one of these people that church gets out, he's gone. Well, 10 minutes later, most people had left, and his truck pulled back in. And he walked up and he says, "I tried to go home. I can't go home." I'm like, "What's going on?" He goes, "I'm supposed to help you with this thing you want to do with the children's ministries and that you're raising the money for. I've been saving my money to buy us a new TV, and I was going to go buy the TV today. And I'm not supposed to buy the TV today. I'm supposed to give the money for that. And I tried to go home, and I tried to get away from it, and I just couldn't." And he goes, "Here you go." I didn't know what to say. He got in his truck, and he left. We went on, and we did whatever that ministry was. But I will always remember that story about Ted and what he did that day. Oh, by the way, Ted is now a partner in the company they used to work for. He is a one-third owner of the whole company. And if you wonder what kind of things they build, next time you're over Disney, look around at some of the buildings, because he's built several of the hotels. God blessed him. But I know it was probably 15 years ago. He'd saved money for a TV, and it all went into some ministry thing because he was sensitive to the Lord. Now, those are stories that we need to remember. We need to remember stories when people took a stand for something that was right, for when someone sacrificed, when someone was faithful. We need to remember those things and hold them in our hearts, because sometimes it seems like You look to the news and it just seems like everything's dark and everything is bleak. But as Christians, Jesus said that we are the light of the world. I know you could say to yourself, wait a minute, Jesus is the light of the world. Oh, yes, he sure is. But if you look at the old Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is delivering the Beatitudes. And then as soon as he gets done with the Beatitudes, he looks at those people and he says, you are the salt of the earth. Verse 14, the next thing he says to him, he says, you're the light of the world. Now you could say, well, wait a minute, stop, Pastor Doug. Jesus is the light of the world. But Jesus just said, we're the light of the world. What's he talking about? When we've got him living inside us and we are living for him, when we are loving people in Jesus' name, when we are endeavoring to live a life walking in holiness, we are a light in this dark world. And in 2018, we need to be who we have been called to be. We need to discipline our minds. And we need to think about these things. And lastly, he says we need to put them into practice. Not just think about them, we need to put them into practice. Now, I'm not much of an athlete at anything, but I have had fun being involved in various athletic things. And I know that one thing that people will use in their training is visualization. Like for a swimmer, David Lambert, who used to be a part of our church, who's in Oklahoma now, he'd visualize what he was going to do in that race. You know, you see yourself standing up there in the blocks, and you're getting in starting position, and you're all ready, and then you hear the sound to go, and in your mind, you're mentally working through that going off the blocks and going down and your dolphin kicks and how fast they're going to be and then surfacing and then planning. You're going to hit that wall and you're going to do your flip and you're going to come out of the flip. You're going to have done your flip. You're going to come out three dolphin kicks. Then you're going to take your first breath, planning every step. Or maybe he's going to do the whole race without a breath. David told me, he goes, there are races, the short ones, that I race without breathing. I'm like, how the heck do you do that? He goes, you lose hundredths of a second breathing, and you train yourself to do it without a breath. But often they'll do this visualization. They'll just work all the parts through in their mind. Why am I telling you this? When he's talking about these things that we need to keep in mind, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, those things, we need to, in our minds, think about, Lord, how can I approach life in such a way that these values, that these things I have in my mind, that I can live those out? And we need to engage our creativity in our imaginations. Now, our imaginations can run wild on worries. We need to let our imaginations run wild on what it really means to do something in a praiseworthy manner. The other morning before I went to swim, I I got this book I was reading, and it's talking about building other people up. So I was laying in bed waiting for the alarm to go off so I was going to get up and swim, and I was starting to think about people I'm going to see in the morning. I was trying to think. Is in my mind, I was like, how can I be an encouragement to them? And I was thinking down through the various faces that I was going to see. God, how can I be an encouragement to them? And I felt like the Lord gave me a couple of ideas. But you see what I mean? I'm trying to click in the creative, the dreaming side of myself to try to come up with creative ways to try to, be an encouragement. But we need to think about these things. We need to come up with a plan for how we would live them in our lives and how we would do them and put them into practice. So, all right, this is what I'm going to close the message with. None of us have lived 2018 before. And God has chosen that this is the time that we're going to be alive. Here we are. And we don't get a do-over, we only get to do it once. I can think of some things in life that I wish I could have a do-over on. But that's the truth. You don't get a do-over. You only get one time through. So in 2018, God needs some faithful people that will stand for him. He needs some people that will stick with the stuff and will live a life following Jesus as best as they can. And the Apostle Paul has given us some things to focus our mind on so we could live like that. I'd like to ask you, be a part of what the Lord's doing. Don't just get swept up in whatever is going on in the day. But set your mind on things above. Focus yourself on the Lord Jesus and be a light. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this day. Now, Heavenly Father, we know that before we know it, we'll be in our car and on our way, and we will be busy engaged in the events of the week. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that these things that you want us to keep on mind, that this would be something that we would keep before us and we would do. Because, Heavenly Father, we want to live like your children. And I know the Apostle Paul warned us to not allow ourselves to get pressed into the world's mold. And Lord, it seems like there's lots of pressure right now, especially on our young people, to be pressed into the world's mold. And I pray, Lord, that rather than being like that, that our minds would be transformed as we keep our eyes on Jesus and we keep our minds fixed on the things that matter most. So help us in our thought life this week. Use our lives. And thank you, Lord, that we could be together in church to strengthen ourselves in the things that really matter. And I pray these things in Christ's name.